Welcome, moms of all stages. If you've ever thought you were a bad mom, if you have, you're in the right place. I'm Jody, your host. I'm a mom of four, a 20-year educator and behavior specialist, and certified life coach. On this podcast, you'll hear about family life at its best and at its worst, and everywhere in between. We'll talk about mental health and inclusion and other hard topics. But most importantly, we will talk about how you can define good mom on your terms. You can show up as the mom you want to be starting now. Let's get started. Hi, moms. This is a special episode. As you know, I have interviewed two of my three daughters, and this week I'm interviewing the youngest of my three daughters, Cassidy. So she is our special guest. And we were going to kick off this episode by just asking the question, what was it like to be the youngest in our family with three older siblings who had very different types of personalities and different types of learning styles? So what do you say about it, Cass?
Yeah. First of all, hi, I'm Cassidy. Nice to be here. But it's kind of interesting that you asked this because it's something that I recently reflected on that I realized I hadn't thought about before. But what I've recently realized about just being the youngest growing up that I didn't notice at the time was always, and I mean, this sounds obvious when you say it out loud, but always being compared to my older siblings. And I kind of internalized this, like, whatever my needs are, like, what are those needs in comparison to my older siblings' needs? They're probably not as high or stuff like that. And then in terms of, like, performance, like, what sports do I play in terms of my older siblings who have already played sports? How do I perform in those sports in relation to them? How do I perform in school in relation to my siblings? Because my older sister, Janelle, was straight-A student and got into UW. And that was so awesome and super celebrated because it's a super great achievement and it is super impressive. And then I got straight A's and I got into UW. And it was obviously still celebrated, but it was also like, well, yeah, you better. Like, it was a little bit less special. And it was just like a little bit, it just, nothing is as exciting the second time around for anybody in any circumstance. But it kind of happens to the youngest. And so same thing, if I would be in a moment of like emotional crisis, I'm like, well, I've seen my siblings go through this before. What were the steps taken then? Do I need the same extent? Do I not?
That's so interesting. As opposed to just having like your own experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, and it's not even something that people explicitly do or explicitly say, but you can just tell. I mean, it's like receiving news for the first time versus receiving it for the second time. You're kind of prepared for it and you have learned from last time. And so you kind of have your tools prepared, and there's not always the same dramatic effect that you would get if it happened the first time.
That is really interesting. Yeah, the way you were saying, like, in relation to, it's almost like there's like a, I can now, like, I didn't see it at the time, but I can see what you mean by that.
I have a constant comparison running through my head.
Yeah.
It's led me to constantly compare to precedented experiences.
Yeah. Has there been any good effects from that? Or is that like, is that like something you're
like, well, yeah, I mean, when my siblings made stupid teenager mistakes, they got super in trouble for it. Whereas I could just, it wasn't that, my behavior wasn't that big a deal. I also wasn't a bad kid. I also learned like what types of things you get in trouble for and what type of things you don't get in trouble for.
In our family.
Yeah. And so I learned what to do or what to show that I was doing.
Yeah.
That would or wouldn't get me in trouble. And that's like another thing that's interesting about being the youngest is that the youngest has a reputation for like being spoiled, getting everything you want, having no rules, your parents taking it really easy on you. But when they take it easy on you in terms of punishment, sometimes you kind of also take it easy on us in terms of validation and attention. Because, you like when you're a kid, you're all shiny and cute because you're the youngest. But then as you like become a teenager and adult, it's like everybody else has already reached these milestones. Mm-hmm. They're not exciting anymore. They don't need to be so reinforced anymore.
Yeah.
Because people are just kind of tired of doing it all the time. And so that was like another realization I made recently is like, yeah, maybe my parents cut me a little bit of slack behaviorally, but I also like filled out the FAFSA by myself my senior year, like found my parents' tax forms, like stuff like that. Like, which is like, they're obviously not detrimental things. They're not bad things, but, that was just something that I learned to ask for this year. Mm-hmm. I realized like it's something that I needed to notice and then explicitly ask for. Like, hey, I know you're used to doing these things. I know you're tired of it. I know it's round four, but like one more lap, please. Here, one more lap. Finish the mile. Just one more lap. But just actually like asking for those things. There's some things that the youngest doesn't need to ask for that the older ones do. And vice versa. There's things that the older kids never had to ask for that then the youngest does need to ask for when it gets to be their turn.
That's so interesting.
I know. I literally, like, had a... It sounds like I'm, like, upset about this, but I'm not. It came up in a session with my therapist, and she's the oldest, and she's like, I kind of owe an apology to my brother. She's like... Because, I don't know, it's just, it's common. The youngest has a reputation of, like, having it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spoiled, true. But
it definitely evens out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two sides to every coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there anything else that maybe is specific to our family and some of the family dynamics that you feel like, you know, might just for the moms or who have four kids and they have the youngest and they might have family dynamics similar to ours? Where there's kids that might be on the spectrum or have, you know, mood dysregulations or blow-ups or things like that. And things that were either good or maybe not so good that you feel like you've reflected on and, you know, might help someone.
Yeah, I think one thing that was good was checking on all the kids when one kid was in crisis. Whenever there's any type of family emergency, you and dad do a good job of making sure each kid is okay in relation to the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, how are you handling this? How is this impacting you? I think that that's really important. And I think it is important to show that concern just for them and just for their problems. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because it's natural to check in on people when something, like, big and dramatic is happening. But, like, even from extended family, I think I just remember that pattern as a kid. Like, hey, how are you doing about this thing? And it's, like, in high school and, like, when we moved in eighth grade, like, I had my own problems for the first time. Not for the first time, but my own really, really big demanding problems. And it was, like, I don't even have the capacity to be concerned about my sibling because I am struggling so much myself right now. And, like, I need somebody to ask me how I'm doing. Again, it's that youngest thing. It's, like, not in relation to my sibling's problems, but just about my problems.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you did do that. I mean, it was hard not to notice in eighth grade what I was going through. but so that did happen. But it's, like, just in terms of, like, everyday problems, like stress about grades or drama with friends. And it's not that those things were heavily overlooked. I definitely remember, like, plenty of, like, times when you're, like, 8 years old and your crush finds out you like them and it's, like, the end of the world. And, like, you have, like, talk to your parents about that stuff. Like, there's plenty of moments like that. There's plenty of normal moments. But I just think that it's a really,
like,
important thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. is to, like, the rest of the kids in your family really focus on and reinforce their identity aside from their relation to their sibling. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a sibling with, like, kids with different levels of needs, not defining them that way. The same right. way you don't define students that way in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You define them on, like, who they are.
Yeah.
Really just building those identities for each of your kids, I think, mm-hmm. is the best way to support them.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. So thank you for sharing that, honey. And then if there's, like, one other thing that you feel like would be helpful to share, if there's something that comes to mind.
I don't know. Maybe just accepting that you're not going to check all the boxes every single day and, like, not defining yourself as a bad mom for that. Or, like, feeling like a bad mom or saying you're a bad mom. Because, I don't know, I just remember being a kid and, like, hearing that and being like, oh my god, that is so far from the truth. And I can't believe I haven't done a good job of, like, expressing to her that she is a good mom. And it
almost made like me, you took some responsibility.
Yeah, like it. And so that's, like, I think, I don't know, because when you're a kid, you can't even express how much you love your parents because it's like the one thing that you don't question in your life. At least for us, like, we had healthy relationships with you.
Yeah.
So it was, like, not a question.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because in our family, especially, the amount of, like, support and unconditional love that you showed, I think that was, like, one of the, like, most baffling things.
Mm-hmm. So it probably felt confusing also to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you say that to hear me say that, then that probably felt unsettling also, or.
Or depending. Just, like, there can be good and bad moms. Like, does that mean there can be good and bad daughters? Does that mean there can be good and bad families? Like, are we a bad family?
Right.
When it's like, I know how much fun we have together, and I know, like,
we love each
how
other.
Non-judgmental my parents are, and yeah, like, how supportive we are of each other, and
yes,
it can, like, just, like, make you question those things when
That's a really good point. I think when moms are starting to feel unraveling or they're just overwhelmed or whatever, when that comes out, it's a feeling that they have that's just in that moment, maybe, but they don't always realize. I know I didn't. I didn't realize the impact that a little kid hearing that is, like, trying to process that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And everybody feels that way, like, all the time. Like, I'll say I'm a bad student when I'm, like, can't get my homework done, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, just as a kid, and I mean, even in high school, regardless of, like, being a child, still just, like, hearing your mom say that, like, even when I was in high school or even now, it's still, like, what are you talking about? I have known you literally all my life. I've literally known you longer than anyone else I've known. Like, and that is, like, the opposite of how I define you in my head. So if you're saying this, what have we done to make you feel like you're failing,
right,
you know?
Right. It's just, yeah, that's such an interesting take. And it, I mean, it's hard to hear as a mom to think that you do say things and then they're interpreted by your kids in ways that are not what you intend. And so then that can actually spin you back to, I'm a bad mom, as I said that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can get in that stuck spiral really quickly and easily. But I think it's helpful to think, this has happened now 3 times where I've had an interview with you guys and something comes out and I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, but I do think it is helpful because to the idea of we're only responsible for our own emotions. We're not responsible for other people's emotions and vice versa. So like for you guys, you're not responsible for how I feel about myself as a mother.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But we still tend to like easily cross over that way.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes both ways that we do that. And so it's just a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can have conversations in your family like, okay, I was having a bad day. I didn't really mean that. That's, you know,
yeah.
Just to clarify. And
yeah, or like even just when you have that thought or that feeling, taking a step back and asking yourself, okay, why am I, like, what supporting evidence do I have for this? You know, why?
Yes.
And then when you try to break it down, you realize, oh, I'm feeling guilty about blank, or I'm mm-hmm. feeling, like, immensely worried about blank, and,
yes.
like, or, like, I feel out of control of this problem, and I can't find the solution, and expressing that, and then, like, figuring that out, and then, like, to the child being, how can I address this? You know, like,
yeah,
I want to show up in this way, and I feel like I'm not, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, which you, like, you do a good job of that.
But I do things that I have learned as I've gone along about the things that just weren't helpful, you know, for me or for us as a family, too. And so I think it's just as important to learn. I mean, we learn a lot of times a lot more from the mistakes we made, too. But we just have to be able to say, like, or at least said in one of these things, like, you're not going to check all the boxes every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. you know, or for any role that we have, we're not going to be, perfectionism isn't the goal.
No, I mean, literally, my Instagram bio is a Taylor Swift quote. It's in a song of hers. She says, life is just a classroom. And I mean, I like it because we're like in education.
Yeah.
But it's true. You are literally here to explore and learn. And I think being a parent has so much responsibility and identity tied to it that you think you're supposed to do it exactly right every single day. But that's impossible. Like, there's no handbook, you know? It's also, it's just like every other relationship. You need to learn each other's communication styles and, like, your boundaries with each other. Your relationships with each of us are way different. And the ways that you talk to us about certain topics are way different. And there's, like, things that I open up more in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then than my siblings. And then there's, like, areas that they open up more in that I don't open up in, you
yes.
know?
Yes, yes.
And
you, like, even love languages.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has, those are different between us. And
yeah.
each, yeah.
And it's, like, life is just trial and error, and
I love that quote, though.
Because I know.
Yeah. Because there's something similar that I've shared, but I might have shared it before on the podcast, but it's the idea that sometimes problems that come up in our lives are our curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate your insights as the youngest in what was sometimes a interesting, we could say, family life growing up.
Yeah. So, thanks for having me on it.
Yeah. I'm sure that we'll do it another one. A follow-up and,
yeah.
like, you know, more insights.
Yeah, there's so many broad topics we covered that we could do.
More specific and.
Yeah, it's like if you chose every single topic that each one of us mentioned, like me, Janelle, and Kylie, like you'd have like 50 episodes,
I know. I have to get Zach on here for an interview too, and that will be very insightful as well.
Yeah.
So
25 more topics.
Yes. Okay. We will be back next week. If you like this podcast, please rate and review so we can spread the word to other moms who are going through the same thing. You can also find me over on Instagram. You'll find links to my website there, information about my coaching program, and free resources. Thank you again for joining me. Have a great week, and please rate and review.